I pray that I may speak and you may hear in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How to live. How to live. As we've heard at the beginning of our service, today is Trinity Sunday. Hard as it may be to believe, I use lectionary commentaries and guides to help me with preparing my sermons. As you prepare them at all, one wonders. The part about Trinity Sunday is always easy to find because it falls about in the middle of the church year, halfway between the beginning, which is, of course, Advent Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, and the end, which is Christ the King. And as Trinity Sunday is the middle of the year, it's in the middle of all my books, and so is straightforward to find. Just open the middle. You may also have noticed the first half of the year, from Advent until now, all the readings and lessons have been primarily about the life of our Lord, what he did, the major events of the story of Jesus. His coming among us, his birth, his baptism, wandering in the desert, his passion, his death, resurrection, ascension, and finally bestowal of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Then, after Trinity Sunday, looking forward to that, the second part of the year, the readings look not so much at what Jesus does as what he taught by his words and his actions. And having heard and understood what he taught, we too can learn how to live. To learn how to live in the Pentecostal spirit, which we learnt about last week, which is bestowed upon all who believe. Okay, as it's my job to preach this how to live stuff, starting today, and Trinity Sunday is a major Sunday in the Christian calendar year, I'd better stick to the script, so please listen carefully. This is straight from my books. The Trinity is the central Christian dogma that one God exists in three persons and one substance, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God who reveals himself to mankind is one God, equally in three distinct modes of existence, yet remains one through all eternity. Boom. Did you find that refreshing and uplifting? Has it given you new and wondrous insight? Having heard it, will you skip out of the church this morning, clicking your heels, and your life totally transformed from this point onwards, knowing just how God wants you to live? Okay. I'm pausing at the blank faces, the occasional wry smiles. But this is Trinity Sunday, isn't it? Well, let's try another book then. Perichoresis is a Greek word. A term you may be more familiar with is a circumcisio, or perhaps the English translation, mutual interpenetration. Well, perichoresis informs us of how the three persons of the Trinity interrelate, wherein the individuality of each person of the Trinity is maintained whilst each party shares the life of the other two. And well, now you have this. Surely we're going to see the light of God twinkling in our fellow human beings and dedicate ourselves to their service. Men, women, and children, the sick and the healthy. Perhaps not. Okay, let's look at the gospel then. Today's reading shows us a scene at the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. Jesus, as we heard, is on the mountain with his friends, telling all what they must do. Because he's going to leave them. He's going to ascend. He knows his friends love God the Father most of all. His friends and disciples also know, with just a few doubts, as we heard, that he, Jesus, is the Son of God, and they love him. And Jesus reminds them that all they are to do in his name, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, we are reminded, will soon come to guide them into all truth. When Jesus speaks to the three persons, it's not that he's somehow forgotten to tell them something, but needs more help from the other two. Nor is it that the Father is somehow too busy creating stuff and doing those things and smiting as the Father does, and so therefore the Spirit has to come in and fill the missing gaps. All are one God. All are sufficient. It is rather the light that is created by the Father and held by the Son can only be perceived through the Spirit. Jesus is pointing to the Pentecost, where the Trinitarian God that has always been will finally be realized by the disciples in all its fiery glory. Only from then When they realize the full stature of God, will they be able to live fully in the pattern of God? At the beginning of this sermon, I promised to talk to you about how to live. And yet somehow in all our technical speak, in the talk of the Trinity, we seem to have got lost. We've lost sight of this goal. Please, I'm not selling short the critically important work of our great theologians and philosophers. We are not to condemn prayerful reason and rationality. And I sincerely recommend careful and uplifting study of theology to you all. But by saying in 1 week we can learn about what Jesus did, and then another week about what he taught, I think is a false division. Who he is and how he lived indeed cannot be divided. One informs and illuminates the other. Who he lived and what he did are one and the same. What he said and what he did are one and the same. Talk of the Trinity is all very dry and unappealing until we realize what it tells us about God and about ourselves. Trinity Sunday is about the very identity of God. And the identity of God is important because when we learn about the identity of God, the Trinity, the relationship, the community in being, we can't help but learn about our own identity too and how we are to live. The Trinity, the very identity of God, the pattern of God is to be the pattern of our lives too. It is as if the Trinitarian God is a description of a simple circle. A circle wherein God the Father speaks, Jesus hears, and the Spirit responds. A circle of light in which each person is illuminated only by the light of the others. A circle in which we too are invited to stand. A circle where we begin to resemble the main players in the way we live our lives. A circle where we, far from being ashamed to rely on the light of others, accept that total interdependence is what makes us begin to look like sons and daughters of God. In other words, without you, I simply couldn't be me. And same, the opposite is true. Unless I am me, you cannot be you. And without the Trinitarian God, we cannot be us. We could not do what we do and live as we live. It is, as the closing verses of our reading from Isaiah tells us, living in our own pattern, by our own power. Soon enough, even if we were youth once more, we would be faint. We would be weary. And we would fall. But living after the pattern of the triune God, in a pattern of mutual love, a mutual illumination, a mutual interdependence, we shall surely mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. Amen.